open your Bibles, please, to the book of Luke, chapter number 19, and I'll be there in just a second. Luke, chapter number 19. In the Word of God, the Bible said, Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. This Bible is about Jesus. He's in every book, every page. You can find something about the Lord Jesus Christ. On one occasion when he met with his disciples, he said, who do men say that I am? My dear friend, he's interested in knowing that you understand who he is. Because salvation is not just a plan. Salvation is a man. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath life. And you need to know who Jesus is. There are some people who don't believe Jesus was God. They believe he's a created being. They believe he was a human who in some way elevated himself up to become one of the highest of the human race, but not God. There are some who believe that he started off as a man and ended up becoming God. But the Word of God is clear on who Jesus is. As you go through the Word of God, that question is asked over and over again. In the book of Matthew, chapter 21, verse 10, and when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? In Luke, chapter 5, verse 21, the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, who is this which speaketh blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone? In Luke chapter 9, verses 7 through 9, Herod said, John have I beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? And he desired to see him. In John chapter 8, verse 25, the Word of God says this, then said he unto him, who art thou? And Jesus said unto him, even the same that said unto thee from the beginning. In John, I quoted that a while ago. He asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they answered that. And when you go through the Word of God, you'll find over and over again the answer to that question, who is he? In fact, the Father, God the Father, the creator of this universe, the Father of God, he said this, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You don't have to wonder who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is God incarnate in human flesh. Again, I like what the apostles say about him throughout the epistles of the New Testament, books of the New Testament, and especially when they ask this question, the Lord asked this question in the book of Matthew. He said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He's the Christ. That means the Messiah, the anointed one. Jesus Christ is the anointed one. He's the one that was coming to redeem Israel. He's the one who's coming to give his life a ransom for me and you who are Gentiles and for all those who were born again. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. I even like what the demon said about him in the book of Mark. In the book of Mark, the demon said this, thou art the Holy One of God. He's everything they were not. He is, notice the definite article, the Holy One of God. There's not another holy person ever been born. There's not another holy person living today. There'll never be another holy man like the Lord Jesus Christ. He was absolutely perfect, perfect man and perfect God. He is the definite article, the Holy One of God. He came God incarnate in human flesh. My dear friend, the Lord Jesus Christ identifies himself over and over again in the Scriptures. And he said of himself, he said, I'm the door, I'm the bread, I'm the vine. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the living water. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I like every bit of that. I love every one of those passages of Scripture. Thank God for them. But you know what I love is like Brother Jesse. I love to hear somebody who's met him and who knows him and the Lord knows them. The testimony, the Apostle Paul on three different occasions gave his testimony of what God did for him. And so this morning, I want us to look in our Bible and let's ask that question of some individuals in the Bible. And God had burdened my heart a couple of weeks ago about this message for Sunday morning. But as I began to go through Vacation Bible School and listen to the testimonies and then the thing on Sunday night or the Friday night, the commencement and all the series, God just kind of said, amen in my soul this morning. I want us to go through. I've got a good friend down in Florida. His name is Brother Raymond Williams. He's been here before. And Brother Raymond Williams reminded us over and over again, we are tater and made of people. Amen. Thank God. I like that. I like to be a tater. I like to have it where we can understand it. And so I don't want to talk this morning about any great theologians. I don't want to talk to any great theologians. I want to go through the Bible and ask some people just like me and you, who is Jesus? Look in the book of Luke, I ask you to turn to Luke 19 and hold your place there. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans. He was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, watch, who he was, and could not for the press because he was a little statue. And he ran before and climbed up to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was passed that way. And when Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw him, he said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. I leave off the reading right there. Here's a man, my dear friend, who has aligned himself with the government of Rome. He's a tax collector. He has alienated himself from his brothers in the community. He had perhaps, I can just vision in my mind, he had gained great amounts of wealth, and he thought money would make him happy. He had a house that was probably the best one in the whole community. No doubt he probably had a gate around that city, around that house, had up a big no solicitation sign. He didn't want anybody bothering him. But inside that place was a man who had disassociated himself and betrayed his own country, who had sold his soul for money. And you could hear in the silence of that house coins hitting the table, but you'd hear no laughter. You'd have no joy because that man learned that money cannot bring you happiness. It will not bring you the joy and peace that you look for. And then one day he heard Jesus is coming by. There was something awakened in him about this man, Jesus. Maybe he's the one who had the answer to that longing, loneliness in his heart. Maybe he was the one who could give him that joy that he couldn't find anywhere else. And so he meets the Lord Jesus Christ on that. The Bible said he climbed up in a sycamore tree because he wanted to see. And the Bible said he wanted to know who Jesus was. And so this morning, I'd like for us to go back and visit that same home. Go back and see that house now. I don't doubt that, my dear friend, the house is not well furnished, but instead of having that no solicitation sign up there, there's probably something like this, Jesus saves. There may be one of those big smiley faces up there, and it says, Jesus saves. Here's somebody who's met the Lord, and from inside that house, perhaps I could hear Zacchaeus as he sang that old song, Sinners, Jesus will receive. Even me with all my sin. And I go up and I knock on the door and I say, Zacchaeus, I'd like to ask you a question. We're here at Benson Grove Baptist Church this morning. Can I ask you, you said you went to find out who Jesus was. Who is Jesus? And he'd say this to me, Zacchaeus would say to me and to you, I don't know a lot about theology. I've never studied all those Old Testament scriptures as much as I should have. He said, but I will tell you this about him. He said, I climbed up in that sycamore tree. The Lord Jesus Christ was on his way to Jerusalem. When he got to Jerusalem, the latter part of this chapter, they'd lay out palms and they'd say, Hosanna to the King. It's called the triumphant entry of the Lord into Jerusalem. He was going to be recognized there as King. My dear friend, listen. The Bible says that as he traveled along, he stopped right where Zacchaeus was at. And he looked up in that tree and he called him by name. And Zacchaeus would say to me and you, I don't know a lot about what you think of what the theological terms would be. But I can tell you this about Jesus. He's somebody who's got time for sinners. He stopped where I was at. And he looked up in that tree and he saw me and he knew me. Can I tell you right now, my dear friend, he's somebody who's got time for sinners. When you and I get so busy in our lives, in our businesses, and even in our ministries, we don't have time to talk to people about Jesus. We're far too busy. I appreciate what Brother Jesse said. He and I have talked on occasion, and I appreciate him making reference to going to Greensboro. But listen, I feel like I failed him so many times because it's been a year now. He's been at home, he and Barbara, so many times I didn't get to go by to see him. I didn't go by to see him. And I feel bad about that. But my dear friend, I want to tell you one thing. Jesus is somebody who's got time for sinners. He'll take time to stop for sinners. He's got time for you this morning. And my dear friend, if you get so busy you can't stop and talk to a sinner, if you're out in the community and God nudges you to say a word, my dear friend, you're way too busy. Brad prayed something a while ago. He don't know if he even prayed it or not, but boy, it spoke to my heart. He said, this business we've made for ourselves. Sometimes we talk about how busy we are, but did you know we've made a lot of this business ourselves? It may not be God. It may not be God. My dear friend, listen, I noticed this about our Lord Jesus Christ. He was always on time. but he was never in a hurry. Always on time, but never in a hurry, because he walked according to the leadership of the Holy Ghost of God. One person, you take time for sinners. And listen, not only those who are lost and on their way to hell need us to take time for them, but those of our brothers and sisters and those who get in trouble. The Bible said, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Sometimes we have friends in our church and in our fellowship who get out of church. They get out of fellowship. Sometimes they fall into sin. And we love them and pray for them. But I'm just telling you, it's so important that you take time for them. I saw a little commercial on TV the other day to remind me of something I saw in real life several years ago. I was watching the Special Olympics on TV. It was live. And they lined up a whole line of special needs children. Some of them had cerebral palsy, and some of them Down syndrome, and they had certain physical limitations, certain mental limitations. They got them on the line. They were going to run a race in Special Olympics. And they shot the gun, and they took off running. And they hadn't gone very far, and they were running down through there, and you know how they were. And then one of them in the middle of that pack stumbled and fell on the track. And I watched in amazement. Every one of them stopped. Every one of them went back to where he was at. They picked him up and they dusted him off. And they pointed him in the right direction, and then they all started running again. You know what we do when one of our brothers or sisters stumbles and falls? We just run off and leave them. But they stopped. My dear friend, Jesus got time for sinners. You and I need to start taking more time for folk. Just love people and touch them. Oh, Brother Avery Rogers said, there's only one way in this world that you can show Jesus how much you love him, and it's by how much you love others. That's the only way you show him how much you love him, by how much you love others. Zacchaeus would say to us this morning, he's somebody who's got time for sinners. Will you look over, please, in John chapter 4 from there? Go to John chapter 4. And here's a story about a woman in the Bible. And the Bible says of our Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I must needs go through Samaria. And as he goes through Samaria, he comes, and notice in verse 7, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus said unto her, give me water to drink, for his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then said the woman of Samaria unto him, hast thou, being a Jew, asked a drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Jesus said, if you just knew who I was, if you knew who I was, you'd ask of me, I'd give you living water. You'd never thirst again. Here's a woman, the Bible said she'd been married 5 times, and she was living with somebody right then, wasn't her husband. Now, I understand this. I have compassion. You have compassion. The Lord has compassion. But this woman, you think, boy, she sure got mixed up with some bad men. But she must not have been such a winner herself to be married 5 times. She could somehow or another, something wasn't right. But I do know this, she comes in the heat of the day because of her embarrassment, because of her being outcast from society, and all a life of sin, 5 different husbands, and living with somebody at that time. And Jesus speaks to her and talks to her. I don't doubt if I'd have went to her house previous to that, I don't know what I'd have saw. It could have been that there were a bunch of old crumpled up beer cans around. It could have been the TV or the radio was blaring some type of rock music. The house probably not well kept. And a woman would come to the door and she'd had the mark of sins on her face. May not have been very old, but you could tell she just was weathered by sin. Had that look of somebody who just kind of, her life was a wreck and sad, despondent, no peace. No joy. But she met Jesus one day at this well. And he said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask me and I'd give you living water. Well, if you read the context, you know she did that. She met him, she knew him, and she found out who he was. And so now I want to go back to her house after she met him. And I got an idea. I see it in my mind. It may not have been that way, but I see it in my mind. I walk up and up the little sidewalk going to her house, there's all kind of little flowers, pretty little daisies and impatience. And just, you can tell she's taking some pride in the yard, the house. Everything looks neat and fresh and clean. Inside, I might have heard her not playing loud rock music, not doing those things. But you might have heard her saying, playing this song, no one ever cared for me like Jesus. nobody ever cared for me like Jesus. And I knock on the door, and she comes to the door, and there's just something about her. I'm not talking about her, you know, being like a Hollywood actress or nothing. But there's just some sort of natural beauty about her. She's got the glow of God about her. She's got the presence of God. You can look in her heart and in her life and tell she's got peace in her heart. You can look in her face and tell she's got joy unspeakable and full of glory. And I said, ma'am, I read your story in the Bible down here at Benson Grove Baptist Church this morning. I just want to ask you a question. Who is Jesus? Bible said, he said, if you knew who I was and evidently you found out, can you tell me who Jesus is? Oh, she'd say to me and you, oh, Brother Billy, said, I don't have all the theological answers. I don't know how to explain it like maybe some other preacher or a missionary or a Bible teacher could. But I can tell you one thing about it from my life, and it's this. He's somebody who knows all about your sin, but he loves you anyway. He told me all things ever I did. Everybody knew I'd been married 5 times. Everybody knew I was living with somebody with my husband, but he told me everything. He went through my life, every thought, every action, every sin, everything. He knew all about it. And yet I felt out of that man something I've never felt out of any other man. I felt he really loved me. And I met him. And can I tell you this morning, he knows all about your sin. He knows every one of them. Every sin of commission, every sin of omission, every secret sin that nobody else knows about, he knows every one of them. That blackest sin of your life that you think you could never be forgiven for, he knows every one of them. You say, Brother Billy, why does he know every one of them? He's omniscient. He's God. He knows everything. But he knows it personally because this, the Bible said that God laid on him the iniquity of us all. The Bible said in 1 Peter, he bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Every sin you ever committed, every wickedness you ever committed, Jesus knew it not only omnisciently as God, but he knew it personally as our Savior. He bore it. My dear friend, he suffered and bled and died for you. And this woman at the well would say to you this morning, you say, who is Jesus? She wouldn't try to give you some big theological answer. She'd say, he's somebody who knows all about your sin, and yet he loves you anyway, and he'll forgive your sin. Look a little further in your Bible, please, in chapter number 5. In chapter number 5, you'll find this story of the man who's at the pool of Bethesda. You'll find him to be there at that pool, and for 38 years, he's been lame. And they bring him to the pool and leave him there. And Jesus comes by, and look at verse 5. And a certain man was there which had infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? And the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled and put me into the pool. But while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. And Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. Well, listen, God, the Lord Jesus Christ healed him immediately, took up his bed and walked. Well, the Jews got mad about that. They got mad about that. And when they came, they questioned him, who was Jesus? And then later, the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. And then in verse 15, the man says this, and he departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which made me whole. I want to go to that man's house. If I go to that man's house, he's one who's been crippled 38 years. I don't know if he lives with mom and dad, but he didn't say anything about his mom and dad. He just said he was there. If you go into his house and knock on his door, you might hear him say something like this, just a minute. And then you'd hear him as he slid out of a chair, off a bench, and with a thud hit the floor. You might could hear him as he drug his body across that floor. Hear him as he fiddles with the door, trying to reach up high enough to pull the latch and open the door. You'd see a man for 38 years who'd been lame. But he met Jesus that day at that pool. And so today I go to his house. And when I go to his house, as I approach the house, I hear singing from the inside. I believe he'd be singing something like this. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. And I go up and I knock on the door and I said, friend, we're down here at Benson Grove Baptist Church today, and I'll just ask you a question. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And he'd say to me, Brother Billy, I can't give you all the theological answers. I can't do that. He said, but I can tell you this. For 38 years, I was lame. For 38 years, they take me down and lay me at that pool. And I had no man to help me. The physicians couldn't help me. My friends couldn't help me. My family couldn't help me. Nobody could help me. Brother Bill, I'll just tell you this, who Jesus is. He's somebody who can help you when nobody else can. You say, Brother Billy, I've tried everything. I've tried everybody. I've tried every program. I've tried all of this and all of that. Now, what am I going to do? There's one person to meet every need you've got. His name is Jesus. He's somebody who can help you when nobody else can and when nobody else will. My dear friend, the woman at the well would tell you he knows all about your sin and he loves you anyway. Zacchaeus would say he's got time for sinners. And this fellow here would say to you that he's somebody who can help you when nobody else can. Look over in chapter number 9. In chapter number 9, here's the story of one born blind. You studied about him, Vacation Bible School. But in chapter number 9, this blind man, the Lord Jesus Christ touches him and he makes him whole. And then they begin to question him. And they want to know, who was this? Who was this man? Who was this man that healed you? Who was the one that made you whole? And listen, they ask him over and over again, who was this? And he answered and said, verse 25, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. I want to go to that man's house before he met Jesus. You knock on the door and you'd hear him say, just 1 minute. You'd hear the tap, 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 tap of a blind man's cane as he comes to the door. As he opens the door, he stares out in blackness. And he said, who's there? Who's there? He can't see you. He's blind. My dear friend, I want to go back after he met Jesus, knock on the door. When I go back, knock on the door, my dear friend, listen, I may have heard something on the inside, something like this, perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Now listen, I knock on the door and I don't hear a tap of a cane. I hear speedy steps coming toward that door. I see him fling the door open. He said, boy, y'all look pretty today. And he lied right there. But he said, no, y'all a good looking crowd today. And look at that sky. It's Carolina blue. Everybody say amen right there. It's beautiful. And all the flowers, it's beautiful. God has given us such a colorful world. And I can see it now. And I said, well, listen, I'm running out of time. They all ready to go to McDonald's and eat lunch or somewhere. And I said, I got to ask you a question. With that, hit Benson Grove Baptist Church. Sir, could you tell me who Jesus is? And he said, I don't know all the Bible answers, Brother Billy. I can just tell you this. Whereas I was blind, now I see. If he ever touches you, you'll know it. Some of you don't know him. Some of you never experienced a change in your life. But if he ever touches you, you'll know it. Whereas I was blind, now I can see. And thank God for that. My dear friend, you won't have to wonder about it. If he's rescued you from darkness to light, you think that man ever had to get up one day wondering if Jesus done anything for him? Every time the sun rose in the evening when he saw the evening star. I don't know if you saw that moon yesterday afternoon. And Brother Mitchell, tell us where's a planet or star. I think it's a planet. But you see that little crescent moon, saw that little planet or star right just above it yesterday afternoon. That was really unique. That was a blessing. But you know, all of that sight, all the beauty of the oceans, the beauty of the mountains, the flowers, all of those things. Listen, God gave us all of that, and that man could see every bit of it now. He never had to wonder if God had touched him. My dear friend, if you've ever been touched, if you've ever been saved by the grace of God, you have the witness of the Holy Ghost on the inside. My dear friend, listen, if he's never made a change in your life, he said, whereas I was blind, now I can see. If you're blind spiritually and you can't see spiritually now, you just know this, he had never touched you. You say, Brother Bill, I don't get a thing in the world out of the Bible. The Bible says it's spiritually discerned. Carnal man can't get anything out of the Bible. But if he's ever touched you, you'll get some stuff out of here. Oh, you may read a chapter or two and nothing really speak to you, but somewhere along the line, somebody's a preaching or you read and God will give you a verse, give you a word. It'll be a blessing to your heart. Listen, this man says to us this morning, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus, I'd say to the blind man. He said, if you've ever touched him, you'll know it. Let me hasten on and I'll just quote it for you. I go to the Apostle Paul. He wrote 13 books in that Bible. He led many thousands of people to the Lord, and he discipled young men, and they went into the ministry. But he says on one occasion, the last time I stood before my judges, no man stood with me. They all forsook him, just like the Lord. Everybody left him. He said, no man stood with me. He said, nevertheless, the Lord stood with me. I want to go ask the Apostle Paul, Paul, God the Holy Ghost used you, caught you up in the third heaven. You saw things you can't even utter. Wrote 13 books of that New Testament. You tell all about who Jesus is, our Savior, our Redeemer. Can I ask you just in one sentence this morning, what's real to you? Paul, who? If I asked you who Jesus was, what would you say? I believe you'd say this. Brother Billy, he is my Redeemer, he's my Savior, he's my Lord, he's my King, and all those things. But I would say this to you this morning. He's somebody who will stand with you when nobody else will. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. Sad truth is that there can be people, you have a marriage, you think everything's fine, and in one moment, one day, your husband comes in, divorce papers. Your wife comes in, divorce papers. Thought everything was going fine. Your life changes just like that. And they forsake you, leave you. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to tell you, if everybody in the world walks out on you, Jesus will stay with you. There's another man in the Bible. His name is Stephen, one of the first deacons. And Stephen testified. He's filled with the Holy Ghost of God. And he began to preach and to testify, tell the Jews that they were wicked, they had rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, he was Savior. And the Bible said that they gnashed on him with their teeth. And then they took him out, and the Bible said, and they began to stone him. And as he began to stone him, he knelt down, and he looked up into heaven. And he says he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. I want to go ask Stephen this morning. Stephen, can you tell us down here at Bentz Grove Baptist Church who Jesus is? He said, God showed me so many wonderful truths, Brother Billy. I was instructed and by the Holy Spirit of God and by some good godly men, and God allowed me to even preach. I didn't have a very long ministry. He said, I can tell you a few things about him. He said, but there's one thing this morning I want to tell you more than anything else. When I knelt down, I could tell my body, stones were hitting my body. Bones were cracking. The pain was immense. I looked up in heaven and I saw Jesus. And I said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And he said, in a few minutes, that fatal blow hit. And he said, the pain instantly was over with. No more pain. No more jeering of the crowd. He said, in a moment, I was out of my body. And I want to tell you, the first one who met me when I went through the gate was Jesus. He got up off the throne and he was set. Can I tell you right now, I've got a little girl in heaven and I've got friends in heaven and you've got family in heaven, but there's nobody in heaven wants you there worse than Jesus does. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe he greets every one of his children that comes through the gate. Stephen, who is he? He'd say he's the first one to greet you when you go through the gate. My dear friend Jesus, who is he? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? If you had to, in one statement, say who he is, what would you say? What would you say this morning? Who is Jesus? Stephen says he's the first one who greets you when you go through the gate. My dear friend, listen, nothing else will matter then. All of the sickness, all the sorrow, all the trouble, all the heartache, all the separation from your loved ones who are already there, that'll be gone forever when you look on his wonderful face. The things of this earth will grow strangely dim when you look in the face of Jesus. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? Can I ask you a few questions this morning? We'll go. We'll be through. Do you know who he is? Do you know who he is? Brother Brad brought a tremendous message at closed vacation Bible school. Doesn't matter so much. He gave a wonderful illustration of going to the White House and saying, I know President Obama. You wouldn't be able to get in. But if he said, I know them, let them in, it'd make all the difference in the world. And can I tell you right now, Stephen knew him. Do you know him? Have you ever been born again? Could you say with that woman, he knows all about my sin, but he loved me anyway and he forgave all of my sin? Could you testify with Zacchaeus, he's somebody who's got time for sinners. He took time to save me. I didn't deserve it. I deserved to be in hell, but I cried out to him and he saved me. Can you say that this morning? Could you testify that you were in a place where you couldn't help yourself? And let me encourage moms and dads. Let me encourage loved ones who've got friends and neighbors and loved ones. You feel like they're so far out, they can't ever get back. You feel like there's no way you can help them. Nobody else can help them. But I want you to know there's somebody that can help them when nobody else can. What I can't do for my boy, what I can't do for my friends, what I can't do for my neighbors, Jesus can do for them. I'm trusting him. and I'm begging him to do something that I can't do. My dear friend, do you know him? If you don't know him this morning as Savior and Lord, you need to trust him. You need to be born again by the grace of God. Those of us who are Christians, my dear friend, it's so important that you can't maintain your personal relationship with him. Know him personally, intimately, walk with him. You don't have any problem talking about those you love. I don't have a bit of problem telling people about my grandbabies because we love them. They're real. My dear friend, our relationship with the Lord will be the same way. There'll be people, hundreds and thousands you'll meet. When Jesus came to that pool, the Bible said there was a great multitude of people there, but there was one man he approached. I don't understand all of God's providence, all God's plan, but somewhere along the line, you'll meet that one man, one woman, and all the people you see tomorrow, there'll be one. There may be one, some older person, some younger person. You speak to everybody you can, but there might be just one that God's already done a work in their heart. They're carrying such a heavy burden. They've come to a place of total abandonment. No, I have no man to help me. My case is hopeless. No way I can do anything. But my dear friend, Jesus can. We need to tell him about him. I don't know what you need to do this morning, but I want to do this. Brother Brad's going to just sing a verse of a song or two, whatever God lays on his heart. If you need to get around this altar and say, Lord, I want to thank you most of all that I know who you are personally. Not what Brother Billy said, not what even the Bible said, but I know who you are because I met you. And I want to thank you that you're my Redeemer and my Savior. And you'll just get fresh and new in that. Make it real once again today. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Christ as your Savior, Lord. You may be in the radio audience, internet audience. If you're not saved today, call on him. I want to tell you one thing. I don't know who you are, but he does. I don't know your need, but he does. I don't know your sin, but he does. And he bore all of that sin on Calvary for you. He's no respecter of persons. If you call on him, he'll save you. I want us just to pray together. You can remain seated there, but if you feel led of the Lord to come around this old-fashioned altar, you do it. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never been saved. You want to come. You come, trust Christ. Heavenly Father, I think I've minded you this morning. I believe Brother Jesse minded you. I believe Miss Regina minded you. I believe Brother Brad and the choir minded you. Now, God, it's up to the folk in front of me and in the radio audience, internet audience, to obey the Holy Ghost, to listen to that wooing calling of the sweet Spirit of God. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest.